Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us. I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West, and we are going to talk all things William Carey Athletics here on today's episode of Crusader Talk. A lot to recap as we skipped out, on Labor Day weekend's episode. So we have got a full gambit of action to recap for you, and also some previews to look ahead for as we still continue our athletic seasons.
I think we just figured that most people were barbecuing that night, a little busy with the family.
Absolutely.
So we can just, you know, load them up this week, catch them up.
That's right. And I'm telling you, if you follow William Carey soccer these times of day or this time of year, it's been a roller coaster, I would say, to say the least. A lot of activity. In fact, we're right in the smack dab middle of a 10-game home game stretch for William Carey's men's team. Meanwhile, the women's soccer team and Coach Danny Owens, they have been here, there, and everywhere, including a couple matches up against top-ranked competition. So we'll recap that in just a little bit. But to start us off today, our favorite friend of the podcast, that's Coach Barry Farrell of the men's soccer program. Coach Farrell, glad to have you with us again.
Good to be here.
Practically the co-host, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's been a co-host before.
Yeah, he has.
He has filled that seat well. Coach, Clayton and I had a fun discussion when we were on the broadcast the other day, and we were talking about how well the pitch has healed up since the first matches of the year when things were all wet and divots started coming up left and right. And we said, you know what? It pays to have minds on this soccer program that also love the game of golf and love some good greens. Makes the playing surface look good as well. Is that fair to say that those two things kind of overlap and create a good environment?
Yes, true.
And boy, did it get beat up.
Yeah. Jarvis Christian when it got beat up?
Yes.
Yeah, it was really bad. It's healed up, and hopefully when we get into winter, we'll get the winter ride down and look even a lot better than it is right now.
So just to kind of start this one from the beginning, it has been a bit of a rocky to up and down start for the men's team so far this year. Obviously, Carey comes in highly touted, ranked in the top 25 at the beginning of the season. Take one on the chin against Alexandria, LSU Alexandria, that is, first. You battle back against what was a scrappy LSU Shreveport team that was probably one of the most aggressive teams I've seen since probably the last time I saw Dalton State at Danny Owens Field. But you come back, you get that win over Jarvis Christian 2-0. And then it was an underrated, I would say, Xavier University team out of Louisiana, future conference opponent for Carey that comes in and just, to be frank, kind of showed out, eventually en route to a 4-0 win over Carey. But all that said, I called it a roller coaster because you guys finished on a high note recently last night or yesterday afternoon as you were able to top Indiana Tech, which is a ranked team, number 12, I believe it was, in the most recent poll from the NAIA. So there's a lot to unpack here. Mm-hmm. And I know I've just given the whole rundown to the recent schedule for Carey, but Clayton and I have talked about it on the broadcast so far this season. This is a team that is experienced as far as their individual efforts are concerned, but to play together and to play their different roles under your direction, that's where the learning experience is coming in.
Yeah, it's just looking back on the first game of the season against Alexandria away, I was just driving up here, and I believe we have six different players starting now in that game, the whole front line. You know, Teddy didn't start, Salas didn't start, I know Figo started, Batista Curta is injured right now, he started, Selmani started, goalkeeper change as well. So we had a lot of changes, we've gone through three different formations, actually four when we've gone down to 10 men as well. So it has taken me a little bit longer to get the group to where we need. I thought the last game against Indiana Tech was a performance where we've talked about it with the players. You know, the performance matched the result. I felt in even the Xavier game, some of the earlier parts of the game we played really, really well, but then it just You know, and I'll have to take the blame for that. I think we set up wrong against Xavier, and I got to give them credit. They took advantage of it. But it was a learning lesson for us and for me especially, and we worked extremely hard to come back against a talented Indiana Tech team who beat Mobile, who were undefeated. And that will go down, you know, as the season gets longer, you know, top 12 opponent, a win against them as well. It'll be a big win for us, and hopefully now we can kind of kick on.
And Xavier, no slouch at all. Coming into that match against Cary, they had already topped an upper-ranked Mobile team. They had, I believe, beaten another ranked team prior to that. But then kind of a weird thing that happens after the victory over Cary, and they drop one to Faulkner.
Yeah.
Who's unranked.
Yeah, they beat St. Thomas. So they went down to Florida. They beat St. Thomas. They beat Mobile. They've beaten Cary. But you're only as good as your last game, you know, and you know, Faulkner, fair play to Faulkner. That's a big result for Faulkner as well. So the NAIA men's soccer, there's been some crazy results in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of parity.
Speaking of, he was mentioning being some of the teams being as aggressive as maybe a Dalton State. Indiana Tech is an extremely physical, well-coached, gritty team. And for Cary to be a little undersized at certain positions, they were able to scrap and mix it up with Indiana Tech all match long.
Exactly. You know, and Caleb mentioned it. I mean, they were physical. A lot of D1 transfers as well. So they came in and they were loud for the first 15 minutes. I felt if we kept them scoreless for that first 15, 20, because they were kind of on top at the start. But once that 20-minute mark went down, and I felt they got tired as well. You know, we had a couple of extra days off. That heat really affected them against Mobile as a couple of players went down. And then we brought the energy. And I felt as the game went longer and longer on, we were the team that were going to win it. And they were kind of playing for a draw in the end. And I was really pleased the way we finished the game as well. We had a couple of chances at the end. It could have been three or four at the end if we'd finished them. But yeah, great win for us, just to get us back on. Important that we didn't go back-to-back losses.
Safe to say that second half was the best half of the season by far?
Yeah, correct. Best game we've played, you know, over the season, collectively. You know, from start to finish. Change formation as well. You know, we made some big decisions. We changed the goalkeeper. We also made, you know, Rico Duggan didn't even play in the game. You know, it was a tactical kind of decision. Nothing against Rico, but we decided to go a little bit more height with Jamie Barry. And actually, Jamie Barry got Defensive Player of the Week in the SSAC today. There's back-to-back weeks we've got goalkeepers as defensive players of the week. So our goalkeeping core is pretty good right now. But, yeah, it was a tactical decision, and it paid off.
Yeah, five saves for your new keeper for his first start of the year, I believe, was Jamie Barry. Mm. And that was kind of a decision that you and I talked about post-game after Xavier, in that, Josh, I know you weren't there for it. Maybe you followed along a little bit. But the first goal of that match against Xavier was one where it was – almost a fluke, if you will. And you saw Malto come out of the goal, trying to meet the ball right there at the front of the box. And at that point, a very talented player in Xavier, whose name just escaped me, but a Parisian player that comes through and just is able to cut it off, knife right through the goalkeeper and other defender, and go straight on into goal. And it seemed like that was just a fluke, but as things started moving on, obviously you give up four goals in a match. Did that kind of become the straw that broke the camel's back to say maybe it's time to just try something new?
Yeah, and to be honest, with goalkeepers, it's a little bit different. Like Jamie Barry has been training tremendously well. He came in first week, not so good, but he's pushed Alex all the way. And it kind of reminded me of last year. And I had a word with Jamie. I said, just be patient, and if you get a chance, just take it. And it was the same last year when we had Kokoska in goal.
Yeah,
and we had Hamshaw, and it was just wait your time, and then he got that, and Henry ended up being NAI third team All American, had a great season. So hopefully that's the same for Jamie.
So as we look ahead, we've got just about a minute left, a couple matches left in this homestand before SSAC play starts. Up next, it's United States Sports Academy, Texas College, Wiley University, Central Baptist College. A couple opportunities for your team to get some more wins right before conference play begins. But all in all, what are you looking forward to most for your team as they go through these next four matches?
Yeah, learning to get some players back as well. You know, we've got Keen Moreland, Batista Curta, Dennis Hamzik, guys that could easily come in and be starters on the team. They're very, very close. So hopefully by the end of next week, they have a chance to come in. But we can't afford, like we talk about Faulkner, we can't afford to slip up anymore. So we've got to start strong and put these teams away early. Something that we haven't done yet, but you know, we have a chance to do that tomorrow and hopefully build on that and leading into the next ranking coming out next week.
Sounds good, Coach. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing what you guys out there on the pitch as you continue on this season.
Caleb, Josh, appreciate it.
All right, he is Coach Barry Farrell, head men's soccer coach at the William Carey University. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking with different coaches, as it'll be Rhonda Shirley, volleyball coach, coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back and ready to go for segment number two here on Crusader Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford behind the board, pushing all the right buttons for us here on this Monday edition of the podcast / radio show. We continue on with Coach Speak, as we welcome into the program on the phone Coach Rhonda Shirley from the women's volleyball team. Coach, it is good to hear your voice yet again. It's been a little while since we've had you on. Y'all are right in the middle of the season, and we blinked our eyes, and already conference play is in full swing, and you've already got a 3-1 win over Point University. Coach, catch us up. How were all the trips out west?
Telling. I mean, we played some great competition, and I knew that going into that, but I felt like our girls really battled and did a great job. But yeah, I mean, we played some of the best, which is exactly what I wanted to do going into this season, just to see where we are at. And I mean, I really felt good about what we did in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, the record, you know, we can throw that out the window as conference play begins, but the experience the girls have had since they have gone out there and done so many different tournaments is something that it speaks volumes for what the longevity of this season can hold, as there's some spicy teams that come through the SSAC now and then, and you'll have those tough competitions coming up, as this week it is probably one of the steepest inclines in your schedule, going from the win against Point to now you'll face Faulkner and the Mobile before you have a couple other conference meetings and non-conference opponents as well. As we kind of look at your group, who has shined so far for you as we've really gotten into the season?
I mean, we've had some great returners. I mean, our setter, Kat, she's been doing a great job, but also, too, I just feel like, you know, coming in, I feel like our right side offense is really shining with Alicia Porty and also Agnes. I think they've been doing a great job, and I just feel like what they've been doing, a lot of times I think people aren't ready for what the right side offense is going to do, and, you know, we were really strong with that last year. But they've been doing a great job, I think, from a offensive standpoint, but also a defensive standpoint from the blocking standpoint. So I'm really pleased with what both of them are doing.
Hey, Coach, good to have you on tonight. We talked earlier today, and we talked after the match the other night, and You know, I think a lot of fans that remembered, maybe haven't been out to a match this year, when you're replacing a Barbie Geges, who's a part of the team this year as a staff member, you replace a Swellen Lima, Elena Anderson, but you replace it with Agnes Hagart and also Portee, and then you bring on some young players as well. Of course, Bettini is such an anchor, plays so well for being undersized and is so fierce. Still a really talented group, and I didn't even mention Bartholomew.
Exactly. I mean, we really do. I mean, Sophia, I didn't mention her, but an outstanding job. I mean, from what she did from last year to this year, great. Yes, and Natalie, she knows. I think she understands the task at hand, and she's doing a great job. So I think one of the main things going into this year is we may not have the huge standout like we did last year. I mean, everyone knew that Swellen Lima was off the charts and probably the best player in the whole conference. But I think this year we're just very balanced, which I think makes us even a stronger team at some times, because no one quite knows who to target. I think everybody was targeting Swellen last year when they were playing us, and now I think this year it's like every time we've played, somebody else has been shining, whether it's Sophia, whether it's Natalie, whether it's Alicia, whether it's Agnes, and I think that's going to be a benefit to us down the road.
We're talking with Rhonda Shirley, head volleyball coach at William Carey. Coach, as we kind of have talked about some of these different players and the bright spots, just in kind of recapping that trip out west, and as we've gone through already one conference game this season, again, we've talked about the bright spots. What do you feel like has been the biggest tell of your team that has been the area of improvement as you go into what is, you know, really one of the most important parts of the season, and that's conference play?
I mean, I think that our culture is great. I mean, I absolutely love this team, and I think the strength of our culture is going to pull us through. But also, too, like, I think some of the things it did show us is that we have to amp up our defense from a floor defensive standpoint. I think that we have the attackers that can do the job. But I also feel like from a defensive standpoint, we're going to have to pick up our game and – hey, that's my job, and I'm going to make them block more balls and dig more balls. But from what I've seen, these kids love to play with each other. This is one of the best cultures I think I've had in probably almost 10 years. And I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, culture can win, and these kids are totally bought in, but not just bought into the program. They're bought into each other, and those are things that you can't teach. So I'm really excited about what the future holds for us.
Yeah, that camaraderie just absolutely skyrocketed because of the synchronized swimming and the diving competitions over the summer, right?
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I should have won the diving contest, but since I did, I mean, the synchronized swimming that they did and everything else, yeah. I mean, seriously, this group of young ladies loves to be around each other, and I love to be around them.
Did we ever find out who won? I don't know if I saw that part of the social media post. Who was the winner of the diving competition?
Well, it wasn't me. It was second. I think it was Gabby. I think it was Gabriella that won it. She looked like a dolphin diving in, but that makes sense with her being a defensive player in the back row, because dolphin diving is quote unquote one of the defensive floor moves you make. So yes,
yeah, got to get the pancake hand out there, got to get the ball off the floor.
That's it.
You bring up Gabby, and so that leads me to my next question perfectly. Gabby, Evelyn, there's some players that are banged up on this team right now.
Yeah.
Are you going to get some back? Are we already looking at some players that might be looking to medical? Is it too soon to tell? There's been some adversity from that standpoint, because we were talking after the first trip, there were multiple players in wheelchairs.
I mean, yeah, A little bit more than I would thought we would tackle this year, but I mean, Evelyn's going to be out for a little bit, but we're hopeful. You know, Gabby, I think she's just battling something that's going to be temporary, but we also want to rest her, so you may not see her in the box scores the next couple weekends. But I need people ready at the end than the beginning, and I can't preach that. I can't preach it's not about where you start, it's where you finish, if I'm not going to do the same thing with my players individually when they have injuries, or not even injuries, but if they're just tired or they have an injury coming up, to prep us, you know, for the postseason. Because I definitely think that we are going to have a team that's going to battle highly to the top of the postseason. But yeah, I mean, it hurts us having those two players you just mentioned out, but hey, like every other team, we have to roll with the punches.
Now, this is a player that I'm about to mention that is not in that, you know, libero type of a position, is another right side outside hitter. But with, you know, wanting to get some reps to some players and rest some players when the need arises, in the next few weeks, could we see a player like Emerald Owens and some other young players come out, and especially an Emerald, deliver the wow factor to the fans when they see them for the first time?
Yeah, Emerald's a special player, I will say that. God gave her a tremendous amount of athletic ability, and she came in very raw, but I don't think in my almost 30 years of coaching I've seen a kid that every day has advanced as much as Emerald has. And she's just a freshman. So I'm super, super excited about her, but I'm also very cautious about putting her out there too soon, because every day she leaves the gym very excited for herself and very confident. And I just don't want to put her out there too soon that confidence receipts. So we have a lot of years with this kid, but I definitely feel like she's going to be somebody we're going to be talking about mid to end of season, just because when her athleticism that she already has naturally catches up with what she's working on every day and becoming a student of the game, which is, it's just part of it. Like, when you get to college, you have to become a student of the game. When those two things align, I think y'all better watch out for her, because I'm excited to see what she's going to do. But also, too, like, I don't
want
to give her
Coach, we're running out of time right here, but we'll trust your motherly instinct on when it's time to push her out of the nest. And we thank you so much for your time today.
On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, good conversation with Coach Shirley. Hey, we had to cut that short. That's the lovely thing of having the radio show aspect of this show as well as the podcast form. But a really good athlete in Emerald Owens, as Josh, you're pointing out, she has quite the athletic background and history, and she's going to bring a lot of it to the volleyball court.
Yeah, so she comes to William Carey to run track. She'll be participating, to Coach and I's knowledge, triple jump and high jump. But she comes and she says, hey, Coach, I want to play volleyball. I want to play volleyball too. And so she's one of those players that every day in practice, Coach Lanford and Coach Shirley are looking at each other going, are you kidding me? Like, she's doing things that most people can't do.
At 5 foot eight.
I can't help but think of Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who didn't make his ninth grade basketball team, but he just loved it and was like, I'm going to outwork everybody. And then the athleticism matched the heart and the drive. And then he physically developed. Well, she's already got those physical talents. She's got a love for the game. Now she's being taught by two of the best teachers of the game in one of the best cultures in the entire sport at that level, or anywhere for that matter. Sky's the limit for her. So I hope that I'm on the call when Emerald Owens takes the floor for the first time, and then it's going to be, and then gets hot in a set and has four or five kills, and the crowd's going, you know, and then the bench gets going, she gets going, and she's flying around and just jumping out the gym. That's going to be a fun, fun moment. And if I miss it, you're going to have to tell me to go back and watch it. It's going to be good.
Well, it's been easy to miss some William Carey volleyball this year because they've only had one match at home at the Benoit Sports Facility, and that was that win over Point, 3-1. Postponed the meeting with Dillard. That was supposed to be back on Tuesday the 2nd, and so everything else has been road, and that's right where they're about to be again at the end of this week.
That should be a reschedule. Like I said, postponement as opposed to a cancellation. Carey sent a bunch of dates. Is it on the schedule again?
Not yet. We have an away visit to New Orleans to face Dillard on October 27th. That's a Monday night. But still waiting to see when that date will be that the originally scheduled home meeting with Dillard will go to. Now, next two meetings, I mentioned Faulkner and Mobile. Mobile, one of those top-tier talents. I believe they're preseason number one in the SSAC. Both of those games on the road, Montgomery and Mobile, respectively, the destinations. But then, finally, we hit a home stretch.
It'll be
four matches in a row with the Crusaders hosting, three of which are conference foes with Life, Bruton Parker, and Loyola, and then wrap it up with Louisiana Christian, which that is currently set up as a doubleheader on that Saturday.
Yes, there's going to be two matches that I will have that day. And so I'll have an 11 o'clock and a 3 o'clock.
Man, who said that soccer, basketball, and baseball were the only games, or in softball, could only have doubleheaders? Volleyball said, oh, we can do it too.
Sure.
Why not?
No, I think it's great, and that's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up just in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Golly, September's a whirlwind. After you had all of August off when it came to volleyball. So they said, we'll give Josh his due when it comes to covering our matches there. Now, as we kind of turn the page away from volleyball and back into soccer, we didn't really mention much of Coach Danny Owens' group with the women's soccer program. They've been on the road a little bit as of late, but had their first skid of the season, and that was against one of the top teams, in fact, the number one team in the country, Kaiser, as they went down to Foley, Alabama to face that great program in Kaiser. And that's kind of been a renewed rivalry over the last few years because, golly, I mean, you've had tremendous matches between Carey and Kaiser in that same locale, Foley, or you know, sometimes they've gone elsewhere, but I believe they've been majority down there at Foley. But Kaiser gets the 2-0 win in the first of two matches down that way. Carey battles back, gets to end the week on a high note and take down the defending national champions in SCAD Savannah, winning that match 2-1. So they get back on the winning side of things. They've been in some tight competitions early on this year, Josh. You know, I look back, they dominated LSUA first match of the year 7-0, but since then it has been 2-1. They lost to Kaiser 2-0. They beat SCAD Savannah 2-1. It is one of those things where right now the girls are leaving nothing but anxiety on the table as they go to finish matches. But at the same time, they're getting the job done. And to have your only blemish be against the number one team in the country when it was a number one versus number two match here in the early going of 2025, pretty good spot to be in if you're Coach Owens and company.
Well, yeah, you got to play that match when you're a William Carey and a Kaiser because you want to know where you stand. So you want that to be a barometer. And so for Kaiser, obviously, they feel really good about their chances, that they have a chance to make a deep run. If you're Carey, you know that you're not the favorite now on paper. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Carey now can take that loss, fly under the radar just enough. Maybe that sparks a little bit of a hunger to be able to have that little something extra to put in the work, to put everything together and get hot late. We've seen a Carey team. I mentioned this. I don't know who I was talking to over the weekend. You have so many little conversations before and after matches. But this is a Carey team that, you know, it seems maybe last couple of years have maybe peaked a little early. Is that fair, Caleb, that maybe got really going midway to late of the regular season and then maybe went even into the postseason a little flat? Is that fair?
Yeah,
maybe a little flat.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, because we're holding – now, keep in mind, we're holding Kerry to Kerry standards. I mean, that's the highest standard at the NAI level in terms of year in, year out consistency. So that's just the product of the success that Kerry has had. But ever since they won that national championship, the battle for that next national championship, with so many opportunities, I don't think people would have believed you if you'd have said they'd still be chasing that second one at this point. And then it's one of those things that every year, it's almost like Rory McIlroy chasing a major, chasing the Masters. He got those three legs of the Grand Slam, and then it was relief. Mm-hmm. It could be that same type of a celebration when they win the next one, of relief, because every year, a player like a Karen Vallau this summer, when we're talking about her coming back for a senior year, she's coming back with one more chance to win a national championship. That's vocalized. It is at the forefront of their minds that is the goal. But how fortunate are we, Caleb, to have a front row seat to watch a team with those type of expectations?
Exactly. And it's incredible to see how much Kerry always has next man up. That mentality of basically every time you go out there onto the pitch and watch a match, especially if it's a runaway type thing, like the 7-0 victory over LSUA, you get out there, you see the ones play, and then all of a sudden you get to that second half and you're like, this group right behind them is just about right there with them. It's almost like 1A and 1B. And that's a Coach Owen's group. And then sometimes you have the position groups like the forwards of last year that were seniors that, you know, graduate and move on and didn't quite have the same talents waiting in the wings, and you just bring them in as transfers and boom, you're right back to where you were. This is a group that, though they haven't put the scoring out there so far, they played some tough competition. Got to play a tight Xavier group next week, or later on tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Is it tomorrow? No. It's later on. Guys have a match tomorrow. Girls will be September 13th when they face Xavier. But this is a group that certainly has their work cut out for them, but they also have some great talent on this team. Now, looking ahead, I mentioned Xavier is coming up on Saturday, September 13th. But you also have coming up next week, Wednesday, in the middle of the day, Georgia Gwinnett travels through. And that is always a top-tier opponent to come here to Danny Owens Field and play. If you are looking for some competitive soccer, it is coming your way very soon with women's soccer. Now, after that, it'll be all conference played. Abraham Baldwin, UT Southern, who had Kerry's number last year. Then you have Blue Mountain Christian as the following home match. Abraham Baldwin is going to be on the road. But all that said, we are crashing into what is a quickly approaching conference play. I mentioned it about volleyball. We blink and we're there. Same applies to the soccer landscape. We have blinked and we are mere weeks away from our first conference match of the season.
I'm just glad they're scheduling a couple of weird day games so I get to do a couple.
There you go.
You and Clayton are at work, so you've got you can't break away. So I'm excited to get to cover a little bit of the soccer team this year. I think that, again, they don't have to be a finished product now. And, you know, we got so excited about this men's team, and that's just the fandom for Clayton and I and yourself. And Coach Farrell kept telling us, guys, we're gonna have to figure it out. We're gonna have to figure out who's got to be in what seats on the bus, and you know how this is all gonna look, and who's gonna be where. And we've got to see who's not only fit. I think a lot of guys came in fit, trained fit, but mentally not ready for the bullseye that was on the back of the Crusaders. Because you mentioned how physical some of the matches have been early. Toro took an elbow cheap shot at the end of the match. Tempers flared. Officials didn't even see it. Should have been a red card, but might have a broken nose. I mean, he's going to have stitches inside his mouth, and hopefully all of his dental work is okay there with his teeth. He was walking off the field, the pitch, checking his teeth. I say all that to say this. You've got to mentally be prepared for those battles.
Got a funny story for you because of that you told me just now. We got into Sunday school. Sunday morning, new couple comes in. They are from, you know, well out of state. Minnesota was their homeland, but had college experiences down towards the southeast, and that's what eventually led them to Kerry. The guy that was part of the couple is in med school down here at Kerry. And we asked, oh, you know, where'd you go to school? And Clayton and I are both sitting at the same table. And he goes, oh, it's at this small school in Tennessee. You know, you've probably never heard of it. Milligan. And both of us just went,
what a great story.
Yeah. He graduated before the Milligan soccer program that came to Cary and defeated the Crusaders in the opening round. The reason that I tied those two stories together, yours and mine, is that Milligan was the team that match ended in what was a little bit of a tussle there at the end.
Just a little.
Just a wee bit. A wee bit of a tussle.
A wee tussle.
But
was the couple so excited that you knew?
Intricately
knew.
Yeah, when all of a sudden I said, ah, Buffaloes. His eyes lit up. He's like, oh, really? You know who they are? I was like, man, I'm covering all these NAIA teams that come through here. Now, if you had asked me who Milligan was before that soccer match, wouldn't have been able to tell you. Now, granted, they did play baseball at Cary in the opening round, I think that same season.
Yeah.
There come the spring. So I had a double dose of Milligan that year. But Crusaders got the better end of them on the baseball diamond that year, and were able to go to the World Series. So we got the better hand there in the spring. All that said, good conversations there with Coach Farrell and Coach Shirley as we've recapped all the things soccer and volleyball. We'll put a bow on this one next as we wrap up on this Monday edition of Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I think poor Clayton's going to be shuddering and thinking about that story again when he listens back to the podcast tomorrow.
Sean will love that.
Yeah.
Sean, anytime there's a really good story, Sean Sellers, how are you, sir? No, you're listening. You may be a couple weeks behind, but when in a month from now, when you tell me that you love that story from Temple, that'd be great.
Man, I'm looking forward to being back with Sean. I did see him, funny enough, during the Southern Miss and Mississippi State game. Obviously, Sean does some PA at Southern Miss in addition to William Carey. He does radio row or / press row PA.
Internal PA.
Internal PA, that's what they call it. Yeah, so he's up there in the press box with everybody else. It's beat writers and whatnot. And my friend Brian Haydab, who's known on this same frequency, Super Talk, during the Sports Talk Mississippi, he does a post-game live stream, just fielding questions in the chat and just doing an instant reaction. And, of course, he was on the back row of press row at Southern Miss and walking right behind him, Sean Sellers. Just a couple times he went back and forth, and I screenshot it, sent it to Sean, and said, ah, I found you. And there's no denying who it is. I mean, he is one of the most iconic figures, and even if you didn't have the lights directly on him, he would have an iconic silhouette as well. But he got a kick out of that, sending it to him, so... Haven't seen him in person in a little bit, but looking forward to seeing him next time I'm out there for baseball, or maybe I get to come out to a basketball game or two.
We're talking about business expenses. Unfortunately, he might have one. The volleyball took a beeline right to his laptop.
Oh, no.
The music was teetering in volleyball. It kept freezing up. I bet you his laptop froze up four times after that.
Bless it.
So the
I think laptop, he had just replaced that, too.
He had. So the new laptop is going into the shop.
Now, lucky for him, and this is getting really technical for a podcast, but he has all of that running in a virtual machine. So for him, luckily, it's just copying over basically one giant file to his new computer, and he can open it up and run it just like normal. Whereas, you know, Joe Schmoes like us probably just have everything installed directly, and we'd have to remember what was here, what was there. No, he's got it all figured out. He's a wise man of that. So to wrap us up today, just kind of wanted to look at the calendar and get going here as we finish up the show today. Big things coming up. A lot of it on the road, at least for volleyball, as we mentioned earlier. Trips to Faulkner and Mobile coming up for Coach Shirley and the women's volleyball group. Men's golf are actually in Waverly, Georgia today as part of the Sanctuary Golf Club Classic hosted by Coastal Georgia. I have tomorrow night, William Carey's men's soccer team taking on the United States Sports University. It used to be Sports Academy. I think they rebranded as of the end of last year. Then also, cross country, getting into things at Jacksonville State with the Southern Showcase over there in Jacksonville, Alabama. That'll be Friday, September the 12th. That'll be the same day that Coach Shirley and company go over to Faulkner to face the Eagles. Then wrapping up with Saturday's action, doubleheader of soccer coming to you at Danny Owens Field. Nightcap games, as it'll be Xavier against the women's team at 5 o'clock, and then the men's team to follow against Texas College at about 7, 7:30. Just kind of depends on how long things go in match number one. So Xavier and Texas College coming to William Carey to play the women's and men's soccer programs, respectively. That same day will be William Carey volleyball taking on Mobile on the road against their arch rivals. So big matchup there, and some good soccer coming our way this week, Josh.
I think that this is a week for soccer, for in particular the men, to offensively get some feel-good vibes going. You know, they've been in such brutal, very defensive, scrappy matches against some really, really good competition, some highly ranked competition. They will be a heavily favored on paper against Texas College, and I think that's one they need right now. I think they need to see some different people in some different positions, perhaps, and then also get some guys some confidence, because there's been some guys, we had multiple guys that had some opportunities inside the box, inside the 18, and they just didn't take the shot. And then you would hear coaches say, take the shot. But I think there's a little bit of not wanting to mess up rather than just going ahead and trying to make a play. They'd rather take the cautious route, if you will, and maybe even try to slip it to a teammate and let them be the one to have that pressure to take the shot. So hopefully they can get a big win on Saturday to get even more confidence. But that was a big-time celebration after that big-time top 15 win over Indiana Tech.
It's a little bit different when you don't have Colby Godbolt just waiting there to head it in or punch it through, or a Billy Bogue or Jamie Wynn. Yeah, those three guys were ones that were just the go-to people. You saw them in the box. You saw the open passing lane. They're going to punch it through. Yeah, no questions asked.
When you got guys like Danny Malero and Santiago that are undersized, that are not big guys, but are extremely quick, extremely strong.
Yeah, Molina and Malero, fantastic players.
They are. They are. And he mentioned Rico Dugan. Didn't even play.
Yeah, he's been so good in the midfield this year.
But they just made a tactical decision there. Nothing against Rico. So that just speaks to their depth. They're going to be able to play some things for some matchups. And I think that we're about to see both of the soccer teams get on a nice little run here.
Yep, could be good as William Carey's men's team again facing off against the United States Sports University tomorrow night. And then we'll finish up with the weekend with women's soccer taking on Xavier and then the men's team taking on Texas College. Well, that'll do it for us on today's edition of Crusader Talk. If you missed us and you're listening live, catch us on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Crusader Talk on all major podcast platforms. I appreciate Coach Farrell and Coach Rhonda Shirley joining us earlier on. Those clips will be available in that same podcast as it'll get posted right as soon as we close here and Dalton gets it edited, probably all before 9 o'clock tonight. I'm putting the pressure on him.
Thanks.
He always delivers. But that'll do it for us tonight. We appreciate those folks for joining us. For Dalton Stanford behind the board, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.